a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hey, I'm back. Hello, you know, welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show. And this is our Planetary Influences Week, which, you know, is a week where we look at what's going on astrologically. We do so with our astrologer, Rob Stewart, and the help of none other than Lori Powers Otto. And this one is the first Planetary Influences after Mercury has gone direct. And everything is going Mercury retrograde this morning, guys, this afternoon, guys, this evening, guys. What time of day is it? Lori, are you there?
I am here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think Mercury needs to lose some weight because that's a pretty big shadow. We are waiting for our astrologer to call back in. Our astrologer was on. I've reached out to him. But, well, we're waiting for him to call back in. Lori.
Yes.
Why don't you start by telling me what's new and exciting in your world? And as you do that, I'm going to try to reach out to him one more time.
Okay. New and exciting in my world. Let's see. I taught my Playing with Auras class on Friday. It was a wonderful success. And we're going to do some follow-up classes on that. And what else is new and exciting in my world? Let's see. Not a whole lot, actually. This Mercury retrograde, I'm so glad it's over. Been a little weird. Can't wait to hear what Rob has to say about what's coming up, because it's hopefully a lot better. And also that comet tonight, I was wondering if he had any input on that, because we couldn't see it last night. And I'm hoping we can see it tonight. I don't really think of being retired. I don't, unless anybody cares. We repaired the cement around our pool and in our garage. That was exciting. But other than that, not a whole lot going on this front.
So, Miss Lori, that sounds pretty exciting. So, did you do it on Zoom?
Did I see it? See the comet? Did I see what on Zoom?
Your class? Did you do your class on Zoom?
Oh,
what did you?
No, I actually did it in person, socially distanced, and it was a very nice, wonderful class. We had a lot of fun. Everybody could see auras at the end of the class, and even one student even contacted me and said he is actually using it in his day-to-day life, which is what I teach it as a life skill. You know, so you can use it for, you know, looking for a job or finding a partner or buying a house or for really any reason. And he's been using it, and he says it's made a world of difference.
Well, that's good. So
yeah.
What I'm going to do is I actually was trying to get Rob's attention because Rob had called in, and then there was a problem when I called in, the shadow of Mercury again, Mercury giving us shade, as they say. He had to reset the phone system. So I don't know if Rob is still on hold thinking he's waiting for the show to start or what the story is, but I'm assuming at some point he'll catch up that too much time has passed and he'll call back in. I don't see him either, and I've tried reaching out to him. So I don't have any of the information in front of me about what the upcoming astrology is, because I could definitely begin the process. I can talk about the fact that, now you had said something about the eclipse, correct?
Well, the eclipse, the comet.
The comet
that's coming through. Yeah.
Yeah. Did it have the face of a Tyrannosaurus Rex on it? Is it coming to, come to play?
I don't know. I don't know. I was hoping Rob could tell me what the story was, because I don't know.
No.
All I know is I can see it.
Yep. Well, we may just have to punt to this show. Yes. Okay. Oh. He says, I thought we were on next week. I don't know why. Is there five Thursdays? No. So he must have been on. Jose, can you jump on? Maybe I screwed up. Maybe it was me. Maybe this is a Mercury retrograde thing. Because when there's five Thursdays, I have him do the fourth Thursday instead of the third Thursday. So I don't know. You and I may be punting on the show today.
Yeah, would be the first time.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time. It's okay. If he says that he can't do it, because it is a five Thursday month. I'm really sorry. My sincere apologies. I don't have anything to discuss. Okay. So talk to you next week. So, Lori, it's you and me, baby.
What would you like to talk about, Kevin? What should we talk about today? What's going on in your world? You're so busy. You always have fascinating things going on.
Well, I do always have fascinating things going on. So I can't remember over the last few shows. I have a new book that just came out, which now will make three over this summer and three more scheduled before year end.
So what are the new
Oh, my God, you're going to ask me that. Well, one is called Spirals, and it's a book of poetry. There's another book of poetry called, there's Spirals as a Kaleidoscope. No, Kaleidoscopes came out last year. Isn't this awful? I cannot remember. I've been working on so many different books, and we've been going back to the books I already have out because I already have four books of poetry out, Thoughts from a Renaissance Man. Angst, Victimhood, and Drama Queens, a collection of love poetry. It's about all that thing from angsty love to a more mature love. It kind of goes through it. It's got poems I wrote back in the 70s all the way up to the early to mid 2000s. It doesn't have any of my latest stuff in it because I put the collection together a while ago, which happens. You know, I put all these things out. I haven't. So here's my story. So I have an intern that helps me. You've met him. Yeah. And so I asked him to take this file of poetry that was still handwritten that I never got around to typing up that I discovered when I was cleaning up my house in Phoenix. So we know that's 5 years ago, at least. I think 5 years ago. And I had found all this loose poetry because I was moving and closing my house down, I didn't have time to type in. So I said, can you go through it? Some of it maybe got in, I can't remember, but can you kind of check it? And can you organize the rest of my poetry? I want to see how many more pieces of poetry I have that are not going to have been included in collections when these books of poetry that are ready to go are out, which will bring me to a total of 8 books of poetry. By the year end, beginning of next year, I'll have 8 full books of poetry out. And I want to see, and I'm saying, like, how much more do I have to play with? Like, you know, what are you going through here? So he's looking and he's finding stuff. And I hear this sound, this kind of like, not quite, oh my God, but something like that. Well, he finds 2 more complete collections of poetry that I forgot I wrote that was all set to go. So they were all in collections. And they just need to be like edited and all of that stuff sent to my person, sent to my editor, for all the stuff that needs to happen between then and actually getting it out through the publisher. And I'm like, okay, so, well, that's good. There's 2 more ready to go there whenever we have that down. And then he found this file. He was like going around and he found this file and he found another 100 pieces of poetry that hadn't gone, that were not attached to anything anywhere, that I had typed up into some obnoxious innocuous title heading saying New Poetry, but I didn't say what year or what month the New Poetry. So I'd found a whole slot of poetry, which I would do sometimes. Sometimes I'd written them on pieces of paper and stuck them in books as bookmarks. Sometimes they were scattered through notebooks, and when I would go to clean notebooks out before I would like throw them away or repurpose them, I'd find, oh, there's a poem. Oh, there's five poems. Oh, really crazy. So, yeah. So we're not exactly sure where we are, and he's not finished going through it, because then I found a whole box of journals, some of which are nothing but cover to cover poetry.
Wow.
We haven't even looked at those yet.
That's impressive. I just think having that you write all that poetry is impressive.
So I'm like, okay, yeah, there we go. That's good. So I've got the poetry coming out, or poetry out. That's all done and in process. Then I have my book, which I originally wrote under a pen name, and I'm keeping the pen name because I'm actually trying to keep it separate from my spiritual books and my business books, because I have business books under Kevin Ross Emery. I have my spiritual books under Dr. Kevin Ross Emery. And then these are my fantasy fiction alternative reality books that I write. And they're under a different name. So that came out, The Invitation. So I'm going to tell you the plot line. I'm going to give you a high picture of The Invitation and tell me what you think.
Okay.
Is that okay? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the series is called The Paradox Prophecies. So first you have to understand how the series got created. I'm in England doing work. I'm at the top of a bed and breakfast where I'm staying while I'm in England. I wake up when the sun's rising. I go sit in a window seat, one of those really cool, neat, I mean, like, this place we're staying was built, like, in the 12 or 1300s. I'm up at the top of the window seat. I'm looking down at the paddock. Gorgeous. The sun's rising. The horses are in the field. I'm in jolly old England. And this voice comes in my head and introduces himself. Sir Thaddeus Cumshaw Stevens. I got the spelling of the name and everything. I mean, like he was like almost giving me his business card and told me I was going to write a series of books and he was going to be the main character of the books. And I was going to take a lot of the spiritual, metaphysical messages and stuff and put them within this book series so that it would get to people who would not read my spiritual books.
Okay.
I said, okay. And I got the name, The Paradox Prophecies is the name of the series. I got an overall arching, like, plot line type of stuff. 3 days later, I'm on a train from Chester, England to Portsmouth, England, because I'm headed down to go hop a ferry over to the Isle of Man where I was teaching classes. We go through Cumshaw, England, exactly spelled like his middle name. And so I was like, well, look at that, it's Cumshaw. Because I'm thinking, Cumshaw, what is that about? So that was a little neat kind of like, I'm on the right track, that I wasn't crazy, though I knew I wasn't crazy. And so I started, what?
You are crazy, but that's another story.
You may be crazy. I may be crazy. Yeah.
You
may be right. That's what it is. I may be crazy, but it just might be a lunatic you're looking for. Anyways, so I started writing this book. It took me a couple of years to write it, and because more stuff was coming. And so basically the overall arching thing is, in the first book, these 8, 20-something, very powerful, but very somewhat dormant, unaware psychic powerhouses are all invited by this mysterious Sir Thaddeus Cumshaw Stevens to go to a fundraiser for the sexual abuse hotline ball in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. So the whole thing takes place in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, for the first book. And as they come together, as it says in the back cover, there is a murder. And where there are plenty of witnesses, and they all saw nothing but the person die in front of them. And he has to teach them how to use their gifts to solve the mystery. Their psychic gifts. And he's brought them all together. And as the series goes on, he is taking them around the world to solve the great mysteries of the world under his tutelage with a combination of their psychic abilities. Because they're all outliers with their psychic abilities. Like, they have abilities that you don't even know exist. Like, you know, they're not the common, I mean, they have some of the common ones. And the second, so I get the first book written, completely written. Then I was commissioned to do a science fiction book by a publishing company that was getting into e-publishing. Well, actually was opening up as an e-publisher to do a choose your own adventure kind of e-publishing stuff. And they hired me to write the science fiction book where the first three or four chapters, you know, you read the first three or four chapters and you have three choices to make. Two moves the character forward. One gets him killed. And then at the end, you have three choices and two get the character killed and one gets the character to the end. And it needed to be a science fiction. So I've just finished writing my first alternative reality / fantasy fiction book. Now I've just been hired to write a science fiction book, which I knew was coming. I knew was coming because in a plane ride from Boston to Seattle, the guy that ended up being the lead character, Inspector Jedediah Girk, introduced himself to me on the plane as a 24th century Sherlock Holmes.
That's fascinating.
So, you know, so here, so when you come back, I'll tell you where all of this leads, and then let Lori ask some questions right here on the Dr. Kevin Show, which this week is all about Dr. Kevin, as it should be. No, we'll be right back here on Home Time.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others, and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Time. I am here with Lori Powers Otto, and we're actually talking about some of the new books that I've got out and where their creations come from. I'm putting it out there, and then Lori's going to put me to the old, let me ask you the tough question, mill, here on the Dr. Kevin Show. If you'd like to be part of this conversation, if you have questions about me, my books, or Lori, or any of the things we're talking about, anything is fair game. You can call the 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. If you got shaded by Mercury like we did, the Planetary Influences show will be next week, where Rob will finish doing my updated chart in his version of astrology, or his kind type of astrology. I shouldn't say version, because he does a unique type of astrology. And he will be talking about the upcoming time of Leo. We mistakenly thought that was going to be this week. Again, we're in the shade of Mercury retrograde, and nobody gives shade like that. That girl Mercury, let me tell you. Lori, you still there?
I am indeed still here.
Yes. For those of you who might not be familiar with the term shade, giving someone shade is like giving them attitude. I realize that it's a term that hangs out a lot in certain subcultures. But some of you may go, what does he mean by shades? Is he talking about Venetian blinds? Is he talking about, you know, something you know, that you try to pull down and it goes up and it breaks itself? No, I'm talking about attitude. So I was commissioned to do the science fiction book, which is called X Equals Conspiracy. As part of the deal that was negotiated by my manager with the publishing company was that they were also going to publish the invitation. They were thrilled. And so I got both books written. Well, the other book, the invitation was written. And the other book, the problem was I needed to write it in 6 weeks. They needed a full science fiction book with three separate plot lines going on simultaneously in 6 weeks. And I got it to them in 6.5. So they could do this big, like, launch they were going to do with the publishing company in this choose your own adventure book that they hired me to write. And the funny thing is, they had read my book Experiment Earth, which is a true story, but it has channeling and all of these spiritual stuff I do. And when they read it, they loved it so much, but they thought it was a science fiction, which is why they hired me to write a science fiction book.
Well, hey, spirit works in mysterious ways. There you go.
So we have the launch. I have my alternative reality fantasy fiction book and my science fiction book released at the same time by this publishing company, who within 3 months went belly up, returned the books to me, returned the rights to the books to me, and they have been sitting on my computer ever since then. And we're talking, they were launched originally in 2007. Now, when I had gotten the publishing contract, I started working on book two, because I was always told that the Paradox Prophecies were supposed to be a 13-book series. And so I had been working on book two, and I was like 2 to 3 chapters maybe, with an epilogue of book two. But when I got the books returned to me, and I was in the middle of a lot of upheaval in my life, I was moving from the West Coast to the East Coast, I was taking care of my father who was in failing health, I never finished the book. It is still unfinished. But now that it has been released, I can finish this book, and it can. And so the book two will be done and will be out in 2021. And then I have 2022 to write the next one. So the second book actually will take place in with the background of the Salem witch trials. And what really happened. So that book called The Invitation came out, and I actually have it. You can get it as an ebook, you can get it as a hard copy. I have a bunch of hard copies that I have that were sent to me when the book was released, so I actually have hard copies in my hand. I got them the day before my birthday. I was so excited because I always looked at, I was an author who wrote books I had authority on. But in my deepest self, I always wanted to be a writer. And these two books opened the door to say, I'm a writer. Does that make any sense?
It absolutely does. It absolutely does to me, you know, because when you write on subjects that you're very well versed in, it's, I don't know. I just think it just comes, it's very easy, right? Because you know all this stuff, you know, it's the arrangement and stuff that might take some work, but the material comes to you easily. When you do something that you're not so familiar with, it's more of a challenge because you want to make sure you get the details right. So you do more research, you delve deeper into it, and it just brings out another side of you. I mean, that's the way I look at it when I'm writing.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is like, because I was working on both of the books, I was living in the Seattle, Washington area. I actually lived in Shine, which was over on the Kitsap Peninsula outside of Seattle. And my office there had a very long wall, and I had a whole set of file cards and charts to follow all the backstory that I needed to have in place to launch the Paradox Prophecies. So I made sure that I was staying true to the plot line, and the things I already knew in my head were going to happen.
Right, and, right. With a different approach than when you're writing, say, an academic type book.
Yep.
Right.
And then when I did the science fiction, and I only had 6 weeks to write it, the first 2 weeks and the first 100 pages was nothing but backstory. I had to create alien races. I had to figure out the story of why the humans, where the humans were. I had to create a universe. I literally drew the planet that it took place on so that I had a visual of what Plexus looked like, because Plexus is the name of the planet. So developing these characters and these nuances and putting this together. And, you know, and I mean, and since then I've, you know, I've got some plays underneath my belt, and I've got some screenplays underneath my belt, and some regular plays underneath my belt. And so, and I actually wrote the pilot for a TV series that didn't go anywhere, but.
You'll have to.
So,
maybe we can change that.
And so anyways, but the Paradox Prophecies is out. I mean, the first book is out. And the other funny story, and then I'm going to let you ask questions before I tell you what the last book that's coming out this year is, that I know of that's coming out. There could be two more. You know, it's only July, and I have so much spare time. I mean, I'm just such a slug.
Sorry.
So the Paradox Prophecies, as I was working on book two and filling out the backstory, more of the backstory about Sir Thaddeus Cumshaw Stevens and stuff, I was flying back to England to hang out with my friend over there, where I got the first inspiration. And I got hit that I needed to do something about Anglesey, that this was a pivotal part. And I was told all of this information about Anglesey and what happened on Anglesey and how that's going to play into the backstory of what's going on now, even though it happened 500 years ago. And I was getting all this stuff, and I'm like, ah. So I'm staying with my friend in England, who's, you know, born and brought up English, fabulous, love her dearly. And I keep saying, I keep on hearing in my head, and I'm telling her, and she's like, I don't know any place that. Then finally, she said, can you spell it? And I felt it, and she goes, you mean Anglesey? I said, is that how you pronounce it? I spelled it right. Now I'm a horrible speller. I spelled it right. I spelled what I heard in my head right. And I said, and she said, you know, Anglesey. And I said, yeah, that would be it. If that's what that spells, is that how you pronounce it? And she's like, yes. Because I kept on seeing the word in my head. I could spell it, but I couldn't pronounce it. Right? Because I wasn't hearing it, actually. I was seeing it in my head. And people think being a psychic is easy, right? You know, like, they don't ever make it easy.
No.
So she said, well, you know, let's take a trip up there. There's a lovely bed and breakfast I've wanted to check up. It's a few hours away. It's on that peninsula of land between, like, the Atlantic Ocean and the English Sea or one of the seas up there. And there's a place where wild horses run, and it's beautiful. And let's go. Let's go to a weekend while you're in town. So I went up, and I get there, and we stay at this bed and breakfast, and we go in and sit down. The first thing I see is a History of Anglesey book, and when I open it up, are all of these things that happened there, which is what I was hearing in my head. I had to work into my book.
Wow, that's awesome. See, now when you see what, because you listened and you went with, you know, with the flow, because you could have said, no, I don't want to go up there or whatever, but you didn't. You went and then you got the answers that you needed to work on your book.
Yep.
That's why we listen when spirit directs us, when spirit gives us nudges. Just, if we listen, then these wonderful, what people call synchronicities, occur. I think that's
absolutely
awesome.
So anyways, so that's that series, and like I said, you know, they're going to travel around because there is a mysterious chess game going on between two very powerful forces about who is going to end up controlling humanity and the earth. And the puzzle pieces to give the good guys, which is my team, of course, Sir Thaddeus's team, the edge is to solve these great mysteries because each one has a clue to the puzzle. So we're going to the Salem witch trials, and then I'm going to move from there to the Lost Colony. And then another book will be done around the Bermuda Triangle. So anyway, that's the series. So what do you think, and what questions do you have besides, are you crazy? Because we know the answer to that is yes.
You know, we're all crazy, but you're a wonderful kind of crazy, so I like that. My first question is, when are we taking our trip to Salem to you know, just do research?
Unfortunately, the Salem book is all but done. It does,
well,
I have to tell you. Have a really powerful time travel scene in it, though. I will give that much away.
Can you ever have too much research? Just saying. You know, I'm not going to Bermuda anytime soon. So, no, I think this is fascinating, and I think it very much parallels what is actually happening to the planet right now. So I think this series of books that you're writing are very timely and could really be informative and make people go, aha, yeah. You know, the light bulbs start going off. But I am very excited to read this series. When can I get the first book?
Well, I mean, if you go on to Amazon, you can get the first book now. I mean, it's available either by ebook, or you can order a hard copy, or if you can tag base with me, I've got copies. At some point, it's almost time for us to actually respectfully hang out in the same space, there, baby.
Yes, sir. We need to do that. I would be very honored to have a signed copy of your book.
I think that can be arranged. So, and. And then the last book coming out this year, which is in final edit, is called My Friend Jesus.
Oh, yes.
You remember that one? We've talked about it.
Yeah. We've talked about it. Tell everybody. This is exciting for me.
This is the channel messages of Simon Peter. Because I started channeling Simon Peter, St. Peter from the New Testament, over 20 years ago. And he very quickly said to call him Simon or Simon Peter. And he would always talk about my friend Jesus in his messages and who Jesus was. And he also said, and I'm not trying to pick a fight with anybody, I'm just telling you what he said in channeling. He talked about, don't call me St. Peter. I have no respect for the organization that canonized me. That was one of his, So he tells a lot of stories about Jesus. He also requested that we read the most modern or traditional, so to speak, version of the two books of Peter, and he corrected them to a more accurate translation of what he said before the people that were creating the reality of Jesus through the eyes of the church got their hands on them. So there's a complete rewrite of the two books of Peter in this book.
Gosh, I would need to read that. I must read that. I'm getting goosebumps just with you talking about it. We've talked about this book before, but it feels so personal to me that I must read it. I must read it as soon as possible.
Well, you know, I originally did this as a cassette series. Because that's how long ago it was put out as an audio, which was just the actual channel messages. We'll be right back on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
The kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what's your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. My co-host, Lori Powers Otto, and I are actually discussing some books that I'm releasing, that I've been releasing this year, and will continue to release throughout the end of the year. We're currently talking about a book that's coming out August, September, My Friend Jesus, the channel messages of Simon Peter. If you have any questions, thoughts you'd like to share, you can call in at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. So yeah, they started originally as a cassette series people could buy so they could hear all the messages. And we went into studio. And I wasn't raised with a Bible. I wasn't raised, you know, with the books of Peter and what they were or whatever. I had no idea. And my partner at the time would read the books, and Simon would in the studio would say what he actually said. And I remember that one of the people that actually got the cassette tapes, listened to him, reached out and said, you know, that she had been struggling for years with a lot of what has been happening in the Christian church and in the name of Christianity. And that listening to that series, and this woman was in her 70s that wrote it. She said, listening to that series made it okay for her to be Christian again.
Wow, that's powerful. That's very powerful, yeah. Right there.
So, yeah, so that's coming out by year end. And there's a vague possibility that I might get the science fiction out by the end of the year. That would be the other one, because that needs some TLC, not a complete overhaul. I do have several new books I'm working on, but they're unless there's a major shift in my life of the, you now have lots of time on your hands variety, which is not what I'm advocating for, dear spirit. Just so you know. But I will, I don't think I'll get any of my new books completed to a place where I'm comfortable with, like, having them released. So, yeah, so that's kind of some of what's going on new in my life. I know. I'm such a slug. I'm such a sludge. Well, I have to tell you, and maybe you'll understand this comment, and I don't say this as a complaint in any way, shape, or form. I actually, you know, it may not sound like a lot, but you get it when I say this. Last week, due to emergency that I just really didn't feel like I could say no to, you know, like clients in good standing, for lack of a better term. Last week, I did 36 hours of clients. And that is just a lot.
Yeah.
And I have no, go ahead.
I just don't know how you do it. That's all. I just don't know how you do it all. I'm in awe of you. I really,
you know, and you know, and I'm glad that I can help this many people. I'm glad that I was there when I had some truly horrific events going on in people's lives, and I was their touchstone. But I ended up with one day off last week, and I was like, on Sunday, I was a zombie. And I said, Jeff, I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And he looks at me like, you've got to be kidding. And we had a Zoom meeting. And we had a Zoom meeting with a nursing home for my mother, which gave me a bunch of additional tasks that I needed to get done as her medical POA and as her legal POA. So I'm shoving that in every 5 minutes I have, trying to talk to doctors and pharmaceutical and drug, you know, delivery companies and all sorts of stuff. And I'm just like, and I just looked at him and I was like, I don't think I can move. but I did, of course. Yeah, you know. So anyways, but yeah, it's exciting times. It's exciting times. And I'm excited to be in them, because it's times of where they're difficult times, and the ancient Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times, but there are times at which humanity are going to have a choice whether they're going to stand up and decide what kind of race we're going to be. And, you know, it's not the time for people like you and I to lay back. It's the time that we need to be pushing the flag forward and putting our two cents in about where we want to see the human race go.
Absolutely.
So I won't be this busy indefinitely. I'll hit a slow period again. I always do. I've been doing this for 30 years. You have busy periods, you have slow periods. But right now, with so much change going on, I'm truly honored to be able to have the kind of impact that I'm having in this many people's lives. And the new podcast, and the new and of course the radio show, and getting the monthly newsletter out, and still, I've started a new thing called Dr. Kevin Discusses. I just put it out in the newsletter. It should have gone out. No, it goes out tomorrow. If you'd like to get my newsletter, you can go to mydrkevin.com. That's mydrkevin.com and sign up. I do put out a monthly newsletter with a video. This video this month is on birthday goals, what they are, why we should set them, and what mine are. So that video is there. Plus, my writing about the death and rebirth and the challenging times we're in, because there's a lot of it going on so many different levels. But you know, we just have to keep, Lori, you guys like you and I, like you're teaching your class, we've got to get that energy out. We've got to get that out.
Oh, I agree. I can't agree more. You know, I know there are some people that just want to go hide in a closet, but that's not what Spirit's calling us to do. You know, one of the big things that Spirit's having me personally do is connect people together. You know, like I might refer a client to you, or I might tell somebody about it, you know, refer someone to take a class or whatever. Just, it's all about helping people make connections. And I do that. I mean, I spend a couple hours every day doing just that, helping people make connections, you know, and then you don't have to always be the person, you know, you always come up with new and original stuff, but not everybody has to do that. And people need to understand that everybody can make a difference from wherever they're at, especially if you are, you know, intuitive or psychic or whatever, you know, listen to those nudges and follow them. Even if it's just, you know, helping your neighbors, that makes a big difference right now. You know, so that's, I'm encouraging people, I'm, you know, connecting neighbors to each other that can help each other out or share or whatever. And those things are just as important as the great big things, you know, and not everybody's an author, but a lot of people are. So stop being afraid and put it out there. Write your book, contact some good publishers. I happen to know one or two, and get your message out there because it needs to be heard right now. Whatever.
Yep.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yes, I mean, part of it is just sharing the stories of hope, inspiration, motivation, of overcoming, of getting on with it. All of the stories need to be shared, Lori.
Yes. That's right. People need to talk. People need to open up. People need to communicate. It's, you know, I've had this as almost everybody in the world, this has been the weirdest year of my entire life. And the last month has been the weirdest month of my entire life with so much. This week alone, I've had 3 friends lose parents, all to COVID. But on the other hand, I've had like 6 friends that have had babies or gotten married or had another wonderful, positive milestone in their lives. So it's up to, you know, it's up to us to what do we focus on, what do we share, what do we praise, what do we get excited about. We can, you know, like you said, this is a defining moment in our lives where we have to decide which side we're going to be on. Are we going to be the light? Are we going to be the dark? Because there is no more neutral.
Yep. Yeah, I lost 2 people last week. So, and It was so funny because I actually talk about how one made me want to go outward, which was my aunt, who, you know, at her point, it was a mercy death in a way. And she was 90 and she had cancer and, you know, she's out of pain. And it gave me this driving force to want to start to go to like the family Facebook page or whatever. And I haven't had a chance to do it. And I'm still thinking about it because I want to talk to some of my cousins. But I want to share my stories that I remember as a kid for all these aunts and uncles, the majority of who have passed. There's a couple left. But like my mother, who's now into moderate dementia, she may be alive, but she's going away.
Right.
And, you know, and so I have this thing of our generation, this level of cousins that are, some are 10 years older than me and some are a few years younger than me. I'm somewhere in the middle. We could go on and share our stories of our aunts and our uncles and our cousins we remember from our childhood, because when we go, those stories go with us. And now they're gone. You know, some cousin may have a story of, you know, a special memory of my mother, of their aunt Marilyn, that would be precious to me to be able to read and hear. And I might have a story about them or that they don't even remember because I was the younger cousin and they changed my life in a way they didn't know when I think about it. And I started this whole where her death made me want to go outward and reach out and connect and share and say, hey, we've got to preserve some of this before it's gone, because people and memories are fragile.
Yeah.
And we lose something that you can't even put a value on as people die with their stories untold. And then the other death was an unexpected death, and it was from COVID. And it was a man that functioned like my business mentor, my business dad, that touched my life and just a number of ways. We had a very complicated relationship, and that's driven me inward. I still not, you know, everybody's posting thoughts and memories of this guy because he touched a lot of people and he did some big stuff. And I've been so inward. I've barely talked about it and I haven't posted anything. A couple people have checked me out and said, are you okay? Cause I mean, like I was faculty for this guy. We had numerous relationships, but it drove me inward. Like I need to make some kind of sense out of this in some way. And then of course it's definitely irritated me when I see people posting or doing stupid things around there. I don't have to be with this. I don't have to be
right.
This is just a conspiracy to control us.
Well, yeah. You know that.
Hey.
There have been some people that have really regretted publicly saying it's a conspiracy when they or someone in their lives get COVID. And a couple times, unfortunately, they have passed away. And those are people that are, in my opinion, choosing to be on the wrong side of this. They're just in denial.
You know, I'm thinking that maybe we could call these rallies that our bully in chief is running around and doing and setting poor examples and letting people off the hook about doing anything and actually almost encouraging people to not wear masks by his own arrogance. I think we should just call it the Another One Bites the Dust Roadshow.
I probably shouldn't laugh at that, but it's just so appropriate.
It's called Another One Bites the Dust Roadshow. All of the people that, you know, are looking for their most closest and local people to get together and have a COVID party, like the 30-year-old that just died in Ohio, where his last words were, maybe I shouldn't have gone to the COVID party after COVID killed him, was killing him. I just think it's wonderful. if you want to put at risk all of these other people, other people's parents or spouses or children that have compromised immune systems, if you want to put all these other people at risk, if you want to say, oh, well, so our school district is only this, and with this mortality, there would only be, you know, so maybe 3,000 or 4,000 kids died. No big deal. I'm like, oh, excuse me. We could prevent 3,000 plus kids from dying by not rushing into a classroom with no support from the government, no help, no cohesive game plan so that somebody can look good and get reelected. So, hey, so this school district's only going to lose 3,000 kids. It's no big deal. You know, it's the price you pay to have him as president.
Yeah.
That's one medium-sized school district, right? You know, we're not going to multiply it by the number of school districts we have. But, yeah, definitely losing this friend to COVID last week has even fired me up more, if you can't tell. Lori, thanks for your flexibility as always.
Thank you, Dr. Kevin.
Love you, baby.
Love you too. I'll talk to you next week.
Yep. Come back next week for Planetary Influences with Rob Stewart.